everyone, and welcome to church. And if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. We're here this morning about building a Christ-centered community. We want to be people who are following Jesus. And we also welcome our kids who are here as well, our older kids and our younger kids, who will go off to kids' church. And a little later in the service, they're going to be joining us to listen in to the Lord's Supper together and hold a communion with us. For those who are listening in on our on the website, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here, and welcome to St Andrew's Abbotsford Anglican Church. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are ordinary people, a group of local people who are of all ages and all backgrounds, who have come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way according to the Bible. And we invite you to know God with us. Involved in the service this morning is Coral. She'll be reading the scriptures to us. Young Lan will be leading us in prayer. Diane will be leading us in prayer. And Adele and Young Lan and Rosemary and myself will be helping us as we sing to the Lord. Our mission focus for this month has been on the work of the Bush Church Aid Society, encouraging the work of the gospel in remote parts of Australia. And again, the envelopes are at the end of the pews. If you wish to support that above what we normally would give, then please take the envelope, place something in it, and bring it and place it in the offertory box at the back of the church. This morning we begin a new little sermon series, picking up on the one that we've been doing through the Old Testament. We come to an Easter time service, and today we're thinking about Jesus Gives, and we're looking at the little encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus by night. The service this morning is one of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, and you are welcome to come to the table as well today, as we did last time, or to remain in the pews. At the back of the church, if you choose to remain in the pews, there is some individual cups with wafers that are there, or you can come to the table and there's a choice of grape juice or wine with the bread, and Diane and I will bring that to you. The sentence of scripture for this morning is from John 3:16, a very familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you know our hearts, and nothing can be hidden from you. By your Holy Spirit, cleanse our thoughts and desires so that we may truly love you and bring honour to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you join with me in saying this psalm together before we sing our first song together? Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's stand and sing our first song, How Great is Our God.
Thank you.
Thank you for gathering us here this morning in obedience to your word, the Bible. We pray now for the kids as they go out for Kids Church, that what they do and how they meet together and the things that they learn will encourage them in their walk with you, Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Please, while you're remaining standing, just turn to the people around about you and say good morning. Welcome to church. If you don't know the person, introduce yourself, tell them your name. We'll just take a couple of minutes just to do that. If you've not yet picked up an individual cup, if you're planning to sit in the pews for the Lord's Supper, please go to the back and grab one of those now. Those of you who are here, if you're at home listening in, you can grab yourself a cup of tea and have some morning tea later on, but please stay and continue the fellowship afterwards. And again, if you're new or visiting us today, please make yourself known. Make your way out into the playground and after you grab your morning tea and continue the fellowship that's there. Let me pray before we hear God's word read to us and taught to us. Gracious God, as the Bible is read and taught to us today, deliver us from unbelief and disobedience. Help us to exhort and encourage one another, that none may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Produce in us the fruit of your Spirit for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Coral's going to come up and read to us from the Bible, and if you would please follow along in your Bibles or in the sheet that came in the order of service to you, the bulletin.
Our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
While we remain seated, in these words of Scripture, let's acknowledge together what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Together. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, please turn to your Bibles to John chapter 3, verses 1 through to 16, it's actually 21 through to there. You'll find it inside your bulletin that's been given to you, but it would be good if you actually turn in your Bibles to the reading itself. If you wouldn't mind, and if you need to find out where that page is, let me just remind you where it is. I think it's on page 1064, that's correct, in your Pew Bibles, for we'll need to flick and jump just back into chapter 2 during the sermon today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, help me to teach your word correctly. And may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you do not leave us with just coming up with ideas about who you are. You have made yourself known. You have revealed yourself to us in your word and ultimately in Jesus, whom you came amongst us and dwelt amongst us and made us known to what it means to believe in you. And so, Father God, speak to us through your word today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're remembering the gift that God has given to us. It's Easter in 2 weeks' time, a time we invite not only ourselves but all to come and remember the gift. And today we shall share in the Holy Communion, an act we do as often as we choose to remember God's gift. The older children may return and join us later in the service and listen in and follow along as we remember. The gift that God gave to us is his Son, Jesus. Have you ever heard the saying, the gift that keeps on giving? There's gifts that keep on giving. They're timeless. They have no end to their blessing. And they're the best gifts someone could ever give to you. Jesus is God's gift that keeps on giving. What is the best gift someone has ever given you? For me, it's the gifts that come from some thought and the taking of time and effort to actually give them. Over the 38 years of ministry, sounds long, doesn't it? 38 years, boy. I've kept the letters, the cards, the notes of encouragement. They're all here. They're all here. The notes that the people have just, without asking, have sent or given to me. And if you've done that, it's here. I've kept them, and whenever I feel a little down or a little flat, a little discouraged, I look across at my room at them, or I go through them and I read them. Most have a Bible verse or two with personal words of encouragement or thanks. Around my study are also dotted amongst the books on the shelves are treasures my children and grandchildren have made and given to me when they were very young or when they were not so young. Here's something you may not be able to see it, but I dropped it too, unfortunately. But here's something that Timothy made for me back in preschool, and it's got Timothy's little cute look on his face that's there, and that's something I hold very treasure and dear. Here is something that Jonathan has made, and again you'll notice that I dropped it and broke it. Not very good, am I, in keeping these gifts? I've packed it all together again. It's something that Jonathan made for me when he was in high school. And this is something that my daughter Bethany gave to me when I came here to be your minister here. It's my favourite verse. It's from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Last year, I turned 60. last year. And this is the letter that Rosemary wrote me and read to the family. That's my recent best gift. I won't read it to you. It's a little embarrassing, all right? And I think Rosemary would kill me if I did. But it's one of my recent best gifts. What's your best gift that someone has ever given to you? And why? Might be something worth talking about and sharing over morning tea today. The passage before us this morning is about a man who meets with Jesus, and a conversation between the two arises about Jesus, God's gift. The man's name was Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a group of senior rabbis, a tribunal of around 23 to 71 senior Jewish leaders, teachers in a town or city, judging over matters Jewish, theologically educated men, men who knew their Old Testament well, or should know their Old Testament well. And John tells us that one of these men, Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night. Look there at verse 2. There's nothing more in that other than he's curious about Jesus, choosing to show support for him, but he's timid and most likely not wanting to be seen by others associating with Jesus. And so he comes at night. Light and darkness is certainly a theme that runs through John's gospel, as we see later and mentioned down there in verses 19 to 21 of chapter 3 with regards to of God and of evil and of Jesus as the light, capital L, and the revelation of God that Jesus is, the light of God himself being made known in the flesh, coming and into the world. And there also you'll see of mankind in general, that loving darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. The significant question, I take it, in these verses 19 to 21, is what is the truth? What is the truth that's mentioned there? The living by the truth that John mentions. Well, the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus is about knowing the truth, believing the truth, and living by the truth. And if we go by what Jesus has said the truth is, it's himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. The truth is Jesus. And living by the truth is living by Jesus and by belief in Jesus, who he truly is and why he has been sent into the world. Now back to verse 2. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he was either accompanied by others or came on their behalf as a spokesperson. Verse 2 there, look with me. And he says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs, Samion in the Greek, miracles you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus has come to Jesus to tell him what he and a few others believe about Jesus. Because there is no further question that Nicodemus asks, I take it that the statement Nicodemus makes is the reason for his coming to Jesus that John records about, to tell Jesus what he knows about Jesus, what he believes about Jesus. He says, "We know, we believe that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." I take it Nicodemus is wanting to let Jesus know he had his support He was for Jesus. He believed Jesus, though timid he was. He was one of those people who John wrote previously about. If you look now in your Bibles to chapter 2, go back there to the last two verses of chapter 2, starting at verse 23. I'll read them out to you. Now, while he was in Jerusalem, that's Jesus, at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he, that's Jesus, was performing and believed in his name. But know what John records here. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind or from mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now go back to verse 3 of chapter 3, noting this. It's interesting then, knowing this, that Jesus replies to Nicodemus. It's interesting to note how Jesus replies. It's interesting because it tells us what Jesus understood Nicodemus to mean by his statement and what Jesus knew about Nicodemus that we don't know, all right? Because Jesus knew what was in each person. So if it seems a little strange why Jesus replies the way he does to the statement of Nicodemus, we bring these verses to it. Jesus knows why the reason that Nicodemus comes to him, and John is recording it that we might know it. It's also helpful for us to note, to realise that when we are going to the Bible and trying to understand a passage, that we don't just try and guess or grab this idea or grab this idea. We look in the context. We try to see if there's something around it already that helps us to understand what the actual passage is saying or what's being meant. It stops us from guessing. Jesus, in his reply to Nicodemus, picks up on three things. Nicodemus coming to see him, on the kingdom of God, the rule, the authority of God, something that can be seen, obviously, and be entered into. And the seeing the kingdom of God and entering into the kingdom, into and under the rule and authority of God, needs a person to actually be born again. These three things, seeing him, coming to see him, Jesus picking up on the kingdom of God, there's something seen and something that can be entered into. And in order to see the kingdom and enter into the kingdom, to come into the rule and under the authority of God, needs to be born again. Nicodemus doesn't get this born again notion. He obviously jumps to the conclusion. How can one be born again and go back into one's mother's womb? So in verses 3 to 12, Jesus tells Nicodemus that believing Jesus came from God because he did miracles was not really believing in Jesus. It was not enough to see the kingdom of God. It was not enough to enter the kingdom of God just believing in miracles, to see the rule, to see the authority of God and to enter into it and to come under the benefit from being in and under the rule and authority of God. Nicodemus needed to be born again. And that was something that he couldn't do himself. It was something God had to do for him and in a person, to give him and to give them by God the Holy Spirit to so do it. When God does it in a person, they then see the kingdom of God. They then see who the rule and authority of God is that comes from heaven. They enter into the kingdom of God. They come under his rule and authority of God that comes from heaven. They see who Jesus is, God's rule, God's authority, God in the flesh, and they enter into and under his rule and authority, and they then truly believe who Jesus is, that he has come from God, come from heaven. The kingdom of God is only mentioned twice in John's gospel, and both times they're mentioned here by our Lord Jesus. But in the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's mentioned 52 times. And each time, Jesus uses it in reference to himself. The conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus has been about knowing the truth, believing the truth, living by the truth. And the truth is Jesus. And living by the truth is living by Jesus and truly believing in Jesus, who has come from God and is God. Taking Nicodemus to be familiar with the Old Testament, verse 13, Jesus helps Nicodemus to see who he is, to see who Jesus is, his Lord. That the kingdom of God was in the midst of Nicodemus. Look there at verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven, Nicodemus, except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Remember, Nicodemus? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Son of Man was an Old Testament name for God's Son, the Christ, the Messiah, who God had promised would come from God and into the world. God was going to send him into the world to take the punishment for our sin, so that we could be forgiven, look to him, believe, and live. Jesus is that Son of Man. What did Jesus say had to happen to him? Look at verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, Nicodemus, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone then who believes may have eternal life in him. What do you think Jesus was foretelling? What was he pointing to? What was he pointing to? The cross. The cross, of course. Why, verse 16? For God so loved the world, John writes, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus is God's gift that keeps on giving. The revelation of God himself, the rule and authority of God who has come amongst us, the truth of who God is, who's seeing is seeing the kingdom of God. Who entering into relationship with as our Saviour and Lord is entering into, coming under the rule and authority of God himself. Who, in coming from God, being given by God to us, forgives us our sins and grants us life, life eternal. Jesus gives. Jesus is the gift of God that keeps on giving and will keep on giving for eternity. We only hear of Nicodemus two further times in the gospel. In chapter 7, where in the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus gains a little courage and defends Jesus in the Sanhedrin, timidly still. But it's later. Later at the cross, at the crucifixion, where with Joseph of Arimathea, it is Nicodemus who has accompanied him and takes Jesus' body of Christ from the cross and places it in the tomb. Maybe at that very moment, as he looked up and he received the body of Christ, he recalled his conversation with our Lord and his time at night, and maybe new birth began and he came into the light at the cross. It's at the cross, sisters and brothers, new birth began for us, where the Spirit of God, we saw the kingdom of God. We believed in him and why he had come from God. We put our trust in him. We believed in him. And we entered into relationship with him. And this God did by his Spirit. We were born again. Dear God, thank you for your gift of Jesus. We give you thanks for all that he has done for us at the cross. We believe in him. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so much that you were willing to die for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for new birth from above, helping us to see the kingdom of God and enter into the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can live now with you forever. It's begun now. Thank you that we are your children and your friends. Amen. Let's sing. Where else have we to go? Was the question of the disciples to Jesus. And they realized he has the words of eternal life. Let's stand.
salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Where else have we to go when you alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go when you alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go when you
the Lord be with you. Let us pray. As our Father, as our Lord Jesus has taught us, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Diane's going to continue in prayer with us. Thanks, Diane.
Almighty God and loving Father, we thank you for all you have provided for us. We thank you for giving us your word so that we can grow in our understanding of your character and to trust in you. For your Son who has made us righteous in your sight, and for your Holy Spirit who guides us to living in a way that pleases you and to bring honour to your name. We know that we still fall short and that our sin grieves you still, but we ask for your forgiveness and for repentant hearts to turn away from our sin to follow you more closely each and every day. May your Holy Spirit continue to prompt us to admit our sin and help us to become more like Christ Jesus. Amen. We see how much of our world is following the darkness, and we are aware of the suffering, pain, and harm happening in so many places. We ask for your mercy on those who are facing dark days. Protect people in Spain from the current fires there. And dear Lord, we lift up to you the people of Yemen, 8 years of civil war with the greatest suffering by those not involved in the fighting. Restore their towns and cities to places of hope and calm and the promise of a better future. We ask that the knowledge of you and your love for these people can be made known to bring a new start for this nation under your loving and uniting embrace. Amen. We praise you, Lord, for our country, Australia, and for the richness of its beauty. Give wisdom to our country's leadership, our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, the state premiers, especially our new New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, chosen at yesterday's election. Grant that all their decisions may be based on wise counsel so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us and make us a blessing to other nations. This year, as a voice to Parliament is being considered at a referendum, let lead-up debates be vigorous and respectful. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love and to seek justice. Strengthen Indigenous church leaders to shepherd your flock faithfully. May the example of Indigenous and non-Indigenous believers show Christ-like compassion for each other and all people and be a unifying presence during the time when this change to the Constitution is being considered. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord our God, we ask you to strengthen and encourage all ministries who are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society, especially the Pharisee family in Kununurra, for Daniel and Rebecca and their children Rachel, Jessica and Emily. Refresh them in times of discouragement and loneliness and call others to stand with them in making Christ known. Grant that through the ministry of the word and sacraments, through caring service and support for young people, the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of our land. We ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving God, look with mercy on all for whom increasing years brings distress, isolation, and greater health concerns. Give them understanding helpers and a willingness to receive offered assistance where needed. Also hold their partners closely to you as they navigate these difficult days alongside them. As strength and patience diminish, increase their faith and the assurance of your love for them. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We offer our thanks and praise for the willing workers who at our AGM last week stepped up to serve us on parish council for the coming year. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule the hearts of all parish council members through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you join me in the set prayer for today? Father, help us to be like Christ your Son, who loved the world and died for our salvation. Inspire us by his love, guided us his example, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, which we're about to partake of, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share the bread and wine together, we are inviting to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of actually sharing in this way. If in good conscience, however, it would not be right for you to participate, then please use this time to reflect on God's love for us in Christ Jesus, on his love for you. Well, knowing the goodness of God and the times we fail to respond with love and obedience, let us confess our sins together. Together, Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Amen indeed. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. We praise and thank you, Heavenly Father, for every spiritual blessing in Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, the gift of your Spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. We who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of your Son. He loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, God, saying, glory be to God in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Together, Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation and pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Amen. As we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death, and we do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Diane, would you come and help me? Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others, and we whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us in this hope that we have grasped, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as you came in today, you would have received a news and notes, just drawing your attention to the things that are in there. Firstly, as you opened up, you would have received an invitation. That's, or one or two, if you were lucky, all right, two there for you to pray for someone and to place in their letterbox or to hand to them and to invite along to our Easter services beginning next Sunday and going through to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday as well. There are plenty more of these in the foyer, just at the door, that if you wish to take some more, you are happy, please do so. Also, during that time of the Easter of Holy Week, we have the Passover meal. I'm going to invite Rosemary up just to give us a little bit more details about what's happening at that meal on the Wednesday evening of Holy Week.
I've been asked about the Passover meal. We're not doing it as a token meal with just the elements that in a traditional Jewish family would use. We are doing it as a full family meal together. Yum. So, yep. So, but in that meal, there will be the token elements and the explanation and Bible readings and some singing that will go on in that meal. But we will have a full roast meal and then dessert afterwards. So it is a length of time. So, yeah, if you want to come along, be reflective at the same time as enjoying fellowship together. And over the over a tradition, or it's not a traditional one, it's more Passover for Christians as opposed to Jewish traditions. So come along and join us on Wednesday the 5th of April, and there's a sign-up sheet at the back of the church.
And if people have any questions they want to ask Rosemary over morning tea about it further, just go and see it, that's on too. In your bulletin there, you'll notice that on the 3rd of April, that's next Monday, not this Monday coming, but the following Monday coming up, we have our parish prayer meeting during Easter week, that Holy Week. So please come and join me and others from between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. here praying for God's work in this place and beyond. And mindful of that too, thank you for giving towards BCA this past month. Again, I just draw your attention to the prayer that's on the back, and if you wish to give towards that ministry, there'll be please do so, and there'll be a new mission focus for next month, and that'll be revealed next Sunday when we come together. Our Easter services are there in the bulletin as well, and men, we've got a deal. We've got one ahead of the ladies, all right? We've got a men's dinner coming up on the 28th of April at 6:30 p.m. here in the foyer, and we have a mystery guest speaker. And Rosemary says, I know what a mystery guest speaker is. It means it's somebody you haven't got yet. Is that right? Well, I had asked Glenn Davies, and Glenn would have come, but he's off with GAFCON that week, and he says, next dinner, please invite me to come along to that time or another time in that place there. So be prayers, I'm thinking about a guest speaker to come to our men's dinner. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought to bear? Other than thank you, men and ladies, who helped us yesterday to connect and raise the profile of the church here during election. We had a lovely time of chatting with people, and we sold a number of sausages and sandwiches, but we had a lot left over. I Simon's laughing and Steve's laughing as well. So we fed the 5,000, 100 or so. So I've got lots of sausages left over, and Rosemary's and Jonathan have kindly packaged these up into little bundles of 20, and we have some bread that's left over, loaves of bread. So if you would like some sausages or some bread, please, we've kept some for a later date. That's how much we've got left over. But if you would like to have some, please just tell us. And Rosemary, is it all right, Rosemary, for you to, or someone in the, we'll put them out on a table and you can just take a bundle, as many as you need, all right? Okay, wonderful. Again, congratulations to, and thank you to those who have volunteered to be our parish council and wardens for 2023. Their names I will place officially into the bulletin next Sunday so that we get to know who they are and introduce those people to you so that you get to know them most. And so I apologise for not having them here today for you. Let's stand and sing our final... Oh, thank you for giving towards ministry in this place. Please continue to do so through the year, either on the offertory envelopes or via online. And if you would like prayer, Fiona and Tony will be up the front here to pray with you for any matters that you might want to pray about. Let's stand. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.